Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
I suppose now's a good time to ask our meteorologist slash baseball writer, expert in both categories, as he is covering the Brewers and Detroit Tigers. In Detroit, one of those outdoor stadiums. So the reason they're playing so many American League games is, well, in case of a rainout, you've got the whole season to make those games up. You pack those games late in the schedule. In a place like Detroit, that becomes very difficult to make up in the event of inclement weather. I don't know what the weather is like in Detroit, so that's why we've got Adam McKelvey, chief meteorologist, joining us from Brewers.com. Hi, Adam.
New title.
Yeah, it's beautiful. There was rain in the forecast all last week. They always have in the Brewers clubhouse when they're going on a road trip. On the video boards, they have the upcoming series and the weather. It's like a nice feature that the clubhouse guys give the players, so they always know how to pack for a road trip. And there was rain, but now it looks like, I mean, knock on wood, it looks pretty good.
Speaking of rain, Adam, we haven't talked to you since last week when we were dealing with all of the severe weather. We talked to you in the beginning of that, but not since that game, when we always say we're so thankful for the roof here, and we are. But Mother Nature had such intense plans that the rain was just coming down and through, and then you had all that flooding outside of the stadium. I mean, that had to be interesting from the inside perspective as well.
You know, inside the ballpark when it's buttoned up, you never know what the weather is until it really pours and like the wind whips and then it starts dripping in. And that's when like we are finally aware that it's raining outside. You get in your little bubble in there. And I mean, that's the first time I remember that winning a game for the Brewers, because there was that play with Sal Frelick where he hit a bouncer right in the dirt, the soft dirt, it turns out, in front of home plate. And it bounced up high in the air, and the Blue Jays catcher waited for it to come down. He was going to try to see if it would go foul. And the ball just kind of splatted in the mud. And really, that like helped the Brewers win a ball game. So I think that's probably the last time I think people should complain about those leaks, because it that's the first time I can remember it actually having an impact in the game. And honestly, I didn't know that there was kind of a drip zone right in front of home plate. Sal Frelick said it doesn't get you in the batter's box, but it kind of drips right in front of home plate, which I would think is very distracting if you're a hitter and it is like torrential downpouring outside and you have this stream of water coming down right in front of your eyesight as you're trying to read a pitch. Sounds like a little, adding to the difficulty level of an already hard task. But look, in this case, it seemed like it won the Brewers a game. And the other thing I would say is the crews did it such an incredible job that night, because we were down in the clubhouse and all the weather coverage was on the TVs and they were trying to figure out ways to help players get home, because so many of them take that little, I think of it as Miller Park Way, the little highway spur there where it shoots you then 94 East to get downtown. And that was all underwater. Cars were stuck there and it was all, we were watching it on the screens, came upstairs from the clubhouse. The parking lots were full, hundreds and hundreds of taillights waiting to try to get out because the ways out were sort of impeded by water. I went into the press box, wrote for maybe an hour. And by the time I came out, the parking lot was empty. The highway was drained. All of the cars that had been stalled out were gone. And it all happened within 45 minutes or an hour.
Wow,
it was kind of incredible. If you had like not looked out the windows coming up from the Brewers locker room, you would have never even known that anything happened.
Well, if you didn't really know about the way scheduling works in Major League Baseball, you thought the Brewers would have reverted to being an American League team so far this year. It really is remarkable, Adam. Well, here we are, April 21st, going to get through this month for the most part without even having seen a division foe. And it's, I guess, somewhat reflected in the record. A lot of teams in the division with an above 500 record. In fact, every one, the only division in baseball. I guess this evens out over time when teams start playing one another, or is the NL Central really the class of Major League Baseball again?
Yeah, let's wait and see what it looks like at the end of the season. They're good. The teams in the division are improved. The Pirates are improved. They have that great starting pitching. The Cardinals look to be improved. The Reds were a playoff team last year. But Greg, we have a story on MLB.com about that. And the Brewers are in last place, which honestly I didn't even realize until I saw that story because they're 12-9, and you don't think at a 571 winning percentage, you don't even think about last place. But they had some, David Adler's one of the colleagues, he actually came to my, when I was down on the injured list with that eye injury a couple years ago, he flew from New York down to Phoenix and covered the Brewers for a few weeks. So I always like when I see an Adler story, and he wrote about kind of the rarity of that. And it's only happened twice. The divisional era began in 1969, where baseball was reorganized into divisions. And there have been two teams that finished 500 and finished in last place. So it can be done. I wouldn't expect it to be this way when we get through the whole season. Some of these statistical quirks that we worry about early in April, they kind of even out over time. And I also don't think the Brewers are going to be in last place the whole season. So a couple of things I think to watch is things even out over the course of the season. But they will see the Pirates finally on Friday. And it looks like it's going to be a Paul Skeens day. So stay hot, Brewers. You get Tarek Skubal, the last game here in Detroit, on Thursday, and then Paul Skeens on Friday at home.
Adam, Brewers fans, some of them, are starting to panic about Sal Frelick. What are your thoughts right now? It's early in the season, but what are your thoughts on Frelick?
Yeah, look, I mean, Pat Murphy's benchmark is usually 100 plate appearances. Greg, can you Google quick? Where's Sal at right now? It's usually you don't start to worry about this stuff until you have at least a month of baseball in the books. Because just like you get really excited about a player who starts the year hitting 500, you know that things just tend to even out over time. And the other thing I'd say about Sal Frelick is he's one of those hit collectors. That was Craig Counsell's term for Sal, because he can use his legs. He's a left-handed hitter. He just has so many different ways to help you win a game offensively that there's going to just be a stretch where he gets a bunch of infield hits in a week and things start to kind of even out. So that would be my prediction for Sal. And the other thing is, you know, he can win games out in the field as well. And he's done, you know, that's part of what I think when you're a hitter and when you go into a spot where you're not hitting, you just focus on doing other things to win games. And I think he's a good enough baseball guy that he will be able to do that.
So he has had 79 plate appearances so far this year and batting under 200. He is hitting, well, right around his weight at 191. So still plenty of season to go. But yes, you'd like to see that turnaround sooner than later. You'd also like to see some healthy bodies back in this lineup. Hey, Pat Murphy, listening to his press conference, you could bring it up really any day from the past several. And it's like, hey, we're trying, we're fighting, we're missing a lot of people, and we're hopeful to get healthy. And that is true, and I know he doesn't make excuses, but that is true. Still, the Brewers are above 500. They're doing fine with work to be done. Any idea who might be first back out of the crew that's missing?
Well, I would probably say Jackson Churio. Now, I haven't seen him in a couple of days, but I know he's with the team, and he was going to start to swing the bat. Andrew Vaughn's back home. He was going to start to swing the bat as well while the Brewers are on this trip. And then when they get home, they hope those guys start to hit. So, you know, remember Jackson Churio had a little fracture at the base of his middle finger on his left hand. That's like a pain tolerance kind of thing. I don't think they're worried about that getting worse. With Andrew Vaughn, he actually had to have an incision and they took that little fractured hamate bone out of the base of his thumb. That's a kind of a different thing because you have to let that wound heal properly before you start to really hit. So I think Jackson Churio would be ahead of Vaughn, but both of those players should be back soon. And then I think Yelich probably trails both of them. And on the pitching side, as you said, Greg, getting Quinn Priester going and on a mound in the minors, everything we've heard as he's pressed forward from this thoracic outlet syndrome is that he's getting better and better. He's able to repeat outings sort of pain-free. Before, he would feel good once, then he would feel like that compression and not feel good, and then he would feel good again, and he just couldn't get in a rhythm. Everything that we've heard from afar has been he's been better about getting into a rhythm, so that would be good news. But look, the hitters, I think, are what people are most worried about and what Pat Murphy really would like to see back, and I would think Jackson Churio is on the front end of those guys that are out right now but working their way back.
Adam, something outside of the game, but certainly connected to the game that I wanted to ask you about. I noticed on social media that you went to the premiere of Uke when it debuted at the Milwaukee Film Festival, and I can't wait to see it. I couldn't go to the premiere, but I just wanted to know your review because I cannot wait to see it, and I know a lot of people are in that same boat.
Everyone, I hope, gets to see this. If you care about Uke, if you care about baseball, if you care about film and radio history and TV and anything like that, because it covers all of that. It covers his whole story. Members of his family were there, Bob Jr. and Sue was there, and they are in the film. And it really did Uke justice. And, you know, talking to the filmmakers, the big challenge was that their principal passed away in the middle of the process of making this film. And they had to kind of assess how to move forward, whether to move forward, how that changes the sort of narrative style of the film. And it was interesting. Josh Maurer did a Q&A after the premiere at down at the Oriental Theater and asked about this. And it was interesting to hear that it became more of a baseball movie as they moved on, which might sound a little crazy. But when you're talking about Uke, you know, there's so many different ways you could go with the story of his life. The baseball is obviously a huge part of it, but it became more sort of about those last two Brewers seasons with Uke on the call. And I mean, I know people have talked about this, but there's one shot where Pete Alonso has hit that homer and the season's over and Uke's called his last game. And there's a long shot into the press box. I don't want to spoil anything about the film, but just know that there's a moment that's worth seeing this film. You know, if it's just that moment, really powerful. This movie will definitely pull out every emotion you can possibly think of. And in July, they say it'll air throughout the state of Wisconsin at Marcus Theater. So that is, please do yourself a favor and go see it, everybody.
Well, do yourself a favor and read Adam's work at Brewers.com. It's the Brewers and Tigers tonight, an interleague series for the crew on the road. Adam will be at the park enjoying his Little Caesars pizza. Always appreciate it, Adam.
Thanks, Adam.
We'll check you later. Thank you.
Yep, pepperoni.
Yeah, you bet. It's Adam McKelvey joining us from Brewers.com. So the field, Comerica Park, it's right next to where the Lions play football at Ford Field, which is right down the road from Little Caesars Arena where the Pistons play. And in my mind, it is the only place in America where Little Caesars actually tastes good. It's at the Pistons Arena.
Wait, so he's just pepperoni, no other toppings?
Apparently, I did not know that.
Okay, all right.